Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
And today I want to share with you guys on a particular topic called the process of transformation. It's about renewing our minds for making successful disciples for Jesus. Just like James mentioned before, godly wisdom brings true success. So that's really in sync with this message, particularly. I think even from my formative years in my Christian walk, I always found that renewing our spirit is easy, but renewing our minds might be hard, or sometimes it might be harder for some of us. So I hope this message or this talk can help. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2. So I'm going to read it out here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, and which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a very well-known and familiar verses for all of us. So I just want to share that, is that when Paul says, in view of God's mercy, it means by the mercy of God, let's return to once we started. Let's return to where we first began with Jesus, because sometimes we tend to forget that we actually started our faith with forgiveness, with love, hope, you know, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we tend to think, oh, well, we have to try harder with our walk with the Lord or with our life. But Paul actually said that, no. When you want to change, when you want to seek transformation in the Lord, we always have to go back to the beginning where the Lord first giving you the mercy, the grace of God, and the love of God. Go back there, start from there again. Because otherwise, we will tend to think, oh man, I have to take this on all by myself. It is our daily decision to stay on the altar, to be consumed by the fire of God. So here, Paul talks about as a living sacrifice, living as a living sacrifice. Paul was talking about dead animals being sacrificed on the altar in the ancient times. Ancient priests would place dead animals on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord. But Paul here, he said that, but as a living sacrifice, that means we as a sacrifice are living, we are not dead. In other words, no one would actually put us on the altar to be sacrificed to the Lord. We will have to come on the altar and to sacrifice ourselves to the Lord. And so that takes a bit of self-initiating. It takes a bit of self-responding to the Lord's calling, because the Lord's not going to drag us to the altar. We have to put ourselves up there. I heard that a lot of people said that, you know, I want the fire of God on my life, but do we know that without the sacrifice, there will never be fire in our lives? Fire speaks of empowerment by revelation or refinement by pressure and pain. You know, we all want to be on fire, but without sacrifice from the heart, there will never be fire from our lives. So that's why Paul said that, I urge you, I strongly encourage you to make a decision for the benefits that the Lord has for you. In other words, he says, look, I want to urge you to think of your life as a sacrifice to him. not to just live your life every day, you know, without thinking, how can I please the Lord? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, that means don't just follow what everyone else is doing, but change the way you think to consider what it takes to please the Lord. And for me, like I mentioned before, to renew our spirit is really easy. You know, if I can just take a bit of time to pray and worship the Lord, I would feel encouraged. But it's the renewing of the heart, the renewing of the mind, that is harder. So I want to take a little bit more time to talk about renewing of our minds. So as a young pastor, I used to tell people just to read the Bible and pray, just to come to church, just to evangelize other people. But what I found is that people still struggle with issues of life, and people don't know how to find breakthroughs. And in as much as they want to do these things, like to read the Bible, to come to church and to serve other people, you know, to repent. But I think I fail to give them a little bit more breakdown on how to do it. And sometimes I can be so simplified to the point that people just don't find breakthrough and victory in the Lord. So today I want to share a little bit more of a breakdown on how to renew our minds. So you can see that, like this little picture there, sometimes we set the ladder too big that people just couldn't climb up. But if we can break it down into smaller pieces, then the possibility for people to get up to find victory is higher, and it's actually easier. So so I'm going to start to share. Actually, there are 10 little points on how to renew our mind as a process of transformation. So I'm going to go there. Number one, admitting your needs. Okay, so say if you're not coping, you need to learn to sing out. You know, if you have some legitimate unmet needs, you need to learn to speak up, because if you don't share about what you need, then no one can actually help you. And from my experience, I used to think it's embarrassing to admit that there are needs in my life. And it's hard to find someone that I can trust to share. But I found that without admitting that there are needs in my life that I need to meet, then I would actually feel a bit suppressed, and it's not helpful for me and for other people. So we have to learn to admit needs in our lives. Say, for example, if you are sick, you know, you need to take care of your health. And, you know, if you need rest, you need to tell your family that, hey, look, I need to have a day off. I need to have a night off so that I can recover myself. If there's a need that that you need to be acknowledged, then you need to, you know, you need to admit that. And sometimes only you know, but other people don't know, then it's not helpful because they can't actually help you. So admitting your need or your needs is very, very important. Number two, accepting responsibility. You know, in whatever situation that we are in, you are not powerless to change it. I found that a lot of people, when they're in a particular situation where they're struggling, self-included, you know, I would blame other people, I would make excuses, I would change topics. And but I found that when I failed to take ownership for the wrong choices that I made, and then that means I can't change the situation. But I have to realize that I'm not powerless to change the situation or the bad choices that I made. I don't need to stay there struggling. one of the first things that I can do is that I need to accept the responsibility and to say, hey, look, you know what? I messed up. I made a wrong decision. I contributed into the trouble, and I acknowledge that. And as soon as I do that, I'm actually taking the power back. I'm actually taking the responsibility back, and to think, look, I can do something about the situation. I'm not powerless. I'm not a victim of the situation. I can do something about it. And you know what? That is actually a form of repentance. Interesting, hey? That's actually a form of repentance, taking responsibility for what went wrong. Number three, locating someone to mentor or care for you. This is how you renew your mind. In Judges chapter 14, Samson's parents try to advise him against marrying the wrong woman. But Samson refused to listen and insisted on marrying her. This decision ultimately led to trouble and conflict with his enemy. Samson had a blind spot in his character and caused him so much damage in his life. You know, basically his arrogance and his lust led to his downfall and ultimately his death. Because why? Because he refused godly counsel. And guess what? We all have blind spots in our character like Samson. And that's where we need to cling to the Lord and to allow his guidance, his Holy Spirit to show us what went wrong, and to bring conviction to us by his word. But we don't stop there, because sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, we need to take what the Lord spoke. We need to take what the Lord spoke to us to process. That's called meditation. Sometimes we tend to think, well, as long as the Lord speaks to us, then we are fine. I don't think that's the case. I don't think so. What makes it fine is that we need to take that word and to meditate on it and to think deeper about what the Lord wants to speak to us in a deeper level. So to receive what the Lord speaks to us is great, but we need to take it back and to break it down and to ask the Lord for more and to process it through. And sometimes self-processing is good, but sometimes we also need to find someone you are inspired by, or you can trust to mentor you or to speak life to you. We can't just stop at our relationship with God or self-processing. We need to find a big person to speak life to us on a regular basis, because you know why? We all have blind spots like Samson. So whether you need to find the Lord to speak to you with his word by the Holy Spirit, whether you have to learn to speak encouragement to yourself like David encouraged himself in the Lord, or whether you need to find a mentor, a pastor, a coach to be a mini shepherd to you, we all need these things to help us to see our blind spots. Yeah, number four, tracing our formative issues. Tracing our formative issues. I'm going to change the slide there. You know, most of our struggles were formed when we were young, because children are the best observers or recorders, but they are the worst interpreters. Meaning sometimes when we were young, we saw something, but we would interpret it in the wrong way because our minds were too young to bring different layers and to process properly. So say for example, children would blame themselves when dad left home. You know, they interpret it wrong. It wasn't them, it was dad, you know. They shame themselves when someone blames them. Their parents said no this time, but they could interpret it as no, never. They give themselves terrible labels, you know, like how I used to be, like how I used to. I used to say I'm lazy, you know, I'm useless, you know, what's good of my life type thing. I was labeling myself on a regular basis. And They believe in lies. When they believe those lies, then it gives the door for the enemy to torment them with. So we need to. So some of us, we still suffer from some of our formative issues and trauma and terrible situations that we were in. So it pays to take time to really go back to some of these formative issues and to face them and to deal with them. I remember when I was young, I was never praised, especially when I did well at school. And as a young kid, that led me to seek attention in many different wrong ways. And that also led to harboring a lot of resentment, unforgiveness, and bitterness in my heart until I met the Lord. So why? Because I just interpret it wrong. I have to say that, yes, you know, I mean, my parents could have done a better job, but it's just like now when I knew that the damage was done, now I know the Lord. Now I'm grown up. So what am I going to do with that? Am I going to stay there to think, oh, well, no one's going to praise me, so I feel resentful about life? I have to go back there and to trace it and to think, no, I'm not gonna be like a 10-year-old kid needing everyone to praise me. You know what I mean? The Lord can praise me, and I can praise myself if I've done a good job. Okay. The point is, if I've done a good job. Okay. Number five, tracing your unbearable feelings. You know, we all have some feelings that are so painful to the point that we would do anything and everything to avoid it. You know, for me, it is okay for the Lord to speak correction to me. But when it comes to receiving correction from other people, I used to take it as rejection. And I realized that that actually crippled my growth because I just didn't have the ability to hear correction from the conversation. And I would, you know, I would take it as rejection. And that's just not good for my growth. And I have to correct that myself. And I have to ask myself, why do I think that way? You know, so this is how I renew my mind, you know, in a way. So imagine when my dad or my wife even, you know, when they would correct me and I would change topics, you know, I would talk back or blame them back to avoid getting corrected. But in fact, I was avoiding that painful feeling of rejection. Now, I believe the Lord will heal you if you can recognize it. And the problem is that sometimes we don't recognize it. So I really pray that the Holy Spirit will show us. Number six, replacing them with the truth, the right type of truth. You know, take the time to think through these things because we need the truth to replace the lie. Say, for example, correction is not rejection. And it took me a long, long time to figure this out. And now I learn to receive correction as not rejection. So it's simply a tool for my mind to, you know, to help me to process things better. And remember, the truth will set you free, and you'll become a better person to live with. Actually, we need to feel happy to live with ourselves. Number seven, practicing communication and negotiation skills daily. You know, when we talk about taking correction as rejection, I used to think, hey, look, they can correct me, but if they come in a heavy tone, or if they come in upset, if they come in hot, I can't hear them, you know, and I don't want to hear them, and I can't hear a word they say, right? So that's why we need negotiation skills. While we know that what they say is good for my growth, but if they come in hot, you know, if they come in upset, then I have to renegotiate with them. I have to tell them that, hey, look, it's really good that you want to talk to me, but you know what? if you raise your voice, if you come in hot, or if you're upset, then I just don't have the ability to hear. Can we actually sit down? Can we actually sit down and talk properly? Because when you are upset, then you talk to me, I can't hear, and then I get upset and I can't hear a word that you say, then what's the point of this correction? What's the point of this conversation? We need to have an ability or able to negotiate the way we hear and communicate things. And I hope this is going to be helpful for renewing our minds. Okay, I'm going to quickly finish off the last three points, if I have those three points there. Setting goals, involving in your church community, caring and mentoring someone else, all these things can actually help you to renew your mind. So that's pretty much my message there. So a discussion or a question for you is that, can any one of these points help you to renew your mind so that you can find transformation and change in the Lord a little bit more effectively? Because at the end of the day, if the ladder is too high or too big of the gap, we just can't keep getting up. But if you can find a small piece, a small point to process and to make changes, then the change can be faster and the change can be possible, and the change will come for you.